Now, before we come to what really is a children's address today, but I trust we'll speak to everyone who is here, the adults and the mums and dads and family members. It's good for us to read the scriptures, so I'm going to read a couple of verses from Psalm chapter 24, and then just very briefly pray, and then we'll get to the message and the children's address itself. So Psalm 24, please, a few verses in the Bible. Psalm 24, and verse 7, Psalm 24, verse 7, let me read these words with you. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory, Selah. Amen. We'll finish the reading there, and we'll bow in prayer for a few moments, please. Father in heaven, we are thankful this day for all that has taken place, and we ask now that you would help the little ones especially, Father, to listen and to watch and take in the truth of God. And for us all, we all need a touch of God. We all need the speaking voice of thy Spirit. There's many here that need a word in season. We've come into the house of God. We've come with many thoughts and many needs and many troubles. But Lord, may we see that there is provision in Christ. There is such a thing as peace with God found through he who is our great Savior and our great Redeemer. So help now, we pray, in the Savior's precious name. Amen. Now, we just sang that lovely hymn together. So, boys and girls, I won't get you to sing it because there are lots of verses and lots of choruses in that hymn. And then we read that portion of Scripture, and it asks a question. And I think for all the children who are here and the adults as well, it's a very important question. Who is he? Who is the King of glory? And that's a question that we have to ask and we have to answer. You see, when we read the Bible and we think about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know something. We know that he was given a name, don't we? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So, boys and girls, and again for everyone here today, the name Jesus, why is it so special? Because it means Savior. And it reminds us of what he does. But you know, there's so much more to learn about Christ. So much more the Bible teaches us about the Lord Jesus. And knowing that, I thought to myself, what should I do today as I think about an object lesson? What object do I bring? What do I teach? I was praying and asking for help. And this is the one I believe the Lord would have us to think about this day. And I want to use an object that I'm going to show you very soon, something which I think we all love and we all enjoy, as a way of telling us more about Christ, more about Jesus Christ, who he is, and why we have to know him, as the Bible teaches us. So Christmas is coming very soon, and next week I think most of us will be sitting around our tables. Now, we're going to have a Christmas dinner, aren't we? Now, don't worry, I don't have leftovers from Thursday in front of me. They've all been eaten by either humans or animals, from what I can tell, because Alan was indicating these things to me about his dog eating some of the food. And he was happy, wasn't he? So the dog was happy, or she. I forget if it was a he or she, Alan. I apologize. I don't have a leftover Christmas dinner. But when we have a Christmas dinner, and I'll let the boys and girls, you can put your hand in the air if you want to answer this. And we've got some either side, but I'll focus here. What do we normally have in front of us? I lied to you a quick. Okay, we've got the turkey. Okay, so apart from the food, so forget about the food. I know you're hungry here, but forget about the food. Something else, and we can pull it. Phoebe? Those cracker things. That's right. I've taught her well, and she saw this. She saw this in my room. Those cracker things, Phoebe. That's right. With a Christmas cracker. Surely you can't get a Bible message from a Christmas cracker, can you? I mean, is that even possible? Hands down, Elijah. Well, I'll ask questions if I get to that stage. So, a Christmas cracker. And of course, in a Christmas cracker, we usually find three things. Again, I'm not going to be asking questions all day long, so boys and girls, it's your only chance to get in here. Someone else apart from Elijah, who's always keen to answer questions, what do we get inside the Christmas cracker? Anyone else? We get a joke. Number one, I get a joke. Number two, we get a hat. And what's the third thing we get? Caleb? Boring stuff. Was it? Okay. Okay, so. Okay, so we can't rewrite this. Neil, can you edit that on live stream? Okay, right. So we get a hat, we get a joke, and boring stuff. They're meant to be toys, okay? And listen, I was always so excited when I had a frog that would never leap. I would hit a thing, and it would either not do anything or it would jump into someone's food. It wouldn't just go where I wanted it to go. So boring stuff, according to Caleb. So that's what you get inside a Christmas cracker. You get a toy. It's a toy. I had a joke and a toy. But I'm not going to use that cracker. No, no. Elijah, your hand's stuck to the ceiling. Put the hand down, my friend. Okay. Right, we're going to be upping the size here, and I've got a different Christmas cracker. It's a bit heavy. There it is there. You're saying, it doesn't look like a cracker. Look, it is. I just ruined it when I was putting it together. And I've let the top stay undone so I can reach inside. I even took out the thing that bangs out of that one. And, you know, I had half the thought, do I even attempt to pull it in church? And I'm fighting with myself because every part of me wants to pull this Christmas cracker. But I know it's going to go wrong. And another voice is telling me don't. And I think Gordon approves. He's looking at me with a very concerned looking face. So I tell you what, maybe at the end we can do this when it's a little bit more informal. So I'll just leave this down here. Okay, so I've got a Christmas cracker. And I remember someone said there was a joke. Was it you? You said there's a joke inside? Well, I'm not going to put a joke inside this cracker. That would be wrong, you know, being in the pulpit here. But I do have something. And it's not a joke. If it was, it would be something like, why did Stephen Jamison cross the road? And I don't have the answer to that one. He can tell me afterwards. But I have something else. And I'll undo this. And so instead of a joke, I do have something here. And it's actually a scripture. It's a verse from the Bible. And it says this in John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So I have a verse of scripture. So when we think about scripture, not a joke, but a scripture, it reminds us about who Jesus Christ is. First of all, he is prophet. Okay? He is prophet. And maybe we come here, and boys and girls, you're here, and you think, well, who is Jesus? I mean, we know that he was born in Bethlehem, and we know that he was born in a manger, and we know that he's the Savior. If we believe in him, we can be saved. But is there more we can know about Christ? Listen, there is so much more we can learn about the Savior. And the Bible describes him and calls him a prophet. In fact, one of the great ways in which we can learn about the Savior, boys and girls, is by thinking about the things that he does and the things that he is. And as we probably can tell already, there are three things we're learning. This one is here. He is prophet. You know, there were lots of prophets in the Bible, weren't there? You've got prophets like Moses. He was a prophet in many ways. And then you've got Elijah. He's a very well-known prophet in the Bible. And you've got Jeremiah. And, he had a very difficult time to live as a prophet. And sometimes when they had their message and they would have a scroll in their hands or something like this, and they had the word of God, and I love to remember this, that they also had the word of God in their hearts. Jeremiah was like that. The Bible was truth that burned within his heart. It wasn't just something that he would read out and then not care about. He loved the Bible. And we should love the Bible. In fact, we think of how the Bible tells us we should hide the word of God in our hearts that we don't sin against him. Have you done that, boys and girls? And for everyone who is here, how much do you love the Bible? What does it mean to you? Do you read it? It would be a sad thing, wouldn't it, to celebrate Christmas, think about the birth of Christ, and never read the Bible that he's given to us. You see, he is the great prophet. And the prophets did something very important, because as God sent the prophets, well, they had to do something really, really important, boys and girls, and everyone here, they had to reveal and they had to show the will of God to people. That's what they did. They showed God's will. And you know, sometimes the people weren't very willing. They didn't want to hear it. In fact, they wanted to hear everything else but what God wants them to hear. Maybe that's like you. Maybe that's like anyone here. You'll hear anything else but truth. And you'll receive anything else into your life but the Word of God. And today's age, where the Bible's not really wanted and loved and read, it's a sad day in which we live, we need it all the more. Because this is what God has revealed to us. It's His truth. And He's revealed the Word of God. And even though maybe like Jeremiah had a very hard time, he was faithful. But even though he was faithful, there's an even more faithful prophet. There's a greater prophet than Moses or Elijah. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this lovely verse, everyone, today. It's in Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2. It says, God, who at sundry or various times and in divers manners, He spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, have in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. So God says that He used prophets, but no longer, because He sent Christ. And we don't need any other prophets, if they call themselves that. We only need one, and that's Jesus. He's the great prophet. In Revelation 1 and verse 5, He's called a faithful witness. So what He tells us is true. You can believe it, you can trust it, and you can rest your eternity upon it. And Jesus reveals the will of God for us. And we say, well, how do we know the will of God? Do you know the greatest way in which you'll know the will of God is right before your eyes? Because Jesus reveals the way to God. That's what Christ does as prophet. He reveals the way to God. How do we get to Him? How do we get to the Father? How can any of you be saved today? Jesus says He's the way, the truth, and the life. So that's not a joke. That's serious news, and it's great news, and it's good news. And so there He is. He's the prophet. But we also get something else inside crackers, don't we? So here we go. We've got this Christmas cracker. Do I pull the banger? No, the shaking of their heads, very, very wise. But we have some boring stuff inside now, okay? And I'll remember that, Caleb, when we're unwrapping our presents next week. Okay, right, so what's this made of? It's Lego, isn't it? It's made of Lego, but that's not complete. Now, I commissioned one of my other children to make this yesterday, free of charge. He didn't ask me for anything, so I was very happy with that. There he was, Zachary, by the way. I'll give you your glory. You can get the praise. And hours in his bedroom, hammers and screwdriver, just whacking away, trying to make. I can make this. I want him to make me something. I wonder what you think it is. Because I've got lots of bits and pieces here to, and this is where I start getting a bit fumbly and dropping things. Okay, so I've got this. Anyone have any idea what this could be? Because you know when you get crackers and you get sort of bits and pieces and it doesn't make sense. I think now it's sort of trying to keep the environment sort of friendly. They're giving you bits of cardboard and paper. You know what's going on? You know, I want these plastic toys. And trying to put things together. Anyone have any idea what this could be before I go any further? I won't ask my children. What about Eliza? What do you think? And made. I tell you what, that is a brilliant guess. It's not the right one, but that's a really, really good guess. Elijah, what do you think? A what? A cross? No. Okay, good try, but no, it's not that. I tell you what, let's start building it, shall we? Best I can, because this is where things get minuscule. I've dropped one already. Let me go down and get it. It's a long way down for me when I have to pick things up. I'm going to get these pieces here, so you can sing a hymn or something while you're waiting. That was a joke, by the way. Don't get your hymn books out. Okay. Right, there's your joke. Okay, so let's start putting these things on here, shall we? So I put one there. Is that right, Zachary? That's right, okay. Yeah, I've never built Lego in front of people in church. This is, I'm not sure if they teach you this in college, Andrew. If not, we can introduce a Lego class. And I'll send someone along. So, okay, anyone have any idea what this could be? I know you're thinking this is strange. What do you think so far? Oh, wow, very good. The Ark of the Covenant. So, Zachary, that means you've built it well. Okay, the Ark of the Covenant, and there you go. and it has a lid on top. We didn't have much gold to overlay it with, so we got a bit of beige Lego instead. So there's the lid. But a few things go inside. Do you remember what was inside? In Hebrews, it tells us there were three things that were put inside the Ark of the Covenant. Now, just if someone's, you think about that, guys, and I'll talk to the adults here. For those who are not sure of the Ark of the Covenant and what it means and where it's from, remember that whenever Moses instructed, or God instructed Moses to build the tabernacle, remember, we're not dealing with that in our life of Moses story, but part of the furniture, part of what was made inside and put into the holiest of all was what was called the Ark of the Covenant, and the covenant is the key word, God's promise, and it would represent God's gracious presence. Now, we've read into Hebrews, in chapter 9, that there were other things that were put inside as time went by. But the first thing that was put inside the Ark of the Covenant was two things. Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is? Boys and girls, Eliza's going again. Excellent. Okay, so we have the Ten Commandments. And you go, you can't have the Ten Commandments on Lego. Yes, you can. You can get Ten Commandments made out of Lego. So there you go. The two tables of stone. They go into the Ark of the Covenant. But there was also something else. Do you remember, boys and girls, what it was? Anyone? So I'm going to go for someone else. Aaron had this. It was a bit like a rod. It was a rod, actually. I'm giving you a big clue here. What was it? I've given you the clue, Aaron's rod. So what is it? That's Aaron's rod. That's it. Very good. So Aaron's rod that budded. Look, we even got the rod to bud. I mean, this is the detail we've got into here. And there was one more thing that was put inside a pot. What was inside this pot? Does it open? It does, yep. What was inside this the pot? It fell from heaven. It was there every day. It fed the Israelites. It sounds like Hannah. Manna, excellent. Was it the last clue? Okay, so there you go. It was a lovely pot of manna. And all these things were put inside, and the lid was put safely on, and there you go. There's the Ark of the Covenant. Retailing at $9.99, but at, no, I shouldn't do that, so. We're selling and buying in the house of God, but if in the week, by the way, you want Zachary to commission Lego for Christmas, he can do the rest of the tabernacle, and we'll box it up for you. So the Ark of the Covenant, well, what does that teach us about the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, remember that this was to be carried only by the Levitical priests, okay? Only to be carried along when they moved along by the Levitical priests. And so it reminds us of Jesus Christ as our priest. He's prophet, boys and girls, but he's priest. And he's the great high priest. In fact, Hebrews 4, I'll leave this here in case I drop it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, seeing then we have a great high priest. We have him, but do you? And so we say, well, what does Jesus Christ do as priest? As prophet, he tells us God's will. Boys and girls, what does he do as priest? Don't answer this one, I'll tell you. He does this. He offers one sacrifice for sin forever. Do you know that? When Jesus died on the cross, he died once for sin. Not many times, once for sin. And he's the only one that could die for our sins because he's the only perfect priest. There's no perfect priest in the Old Testament. There was certainly none in the New Testament. Jesus is the perfect priest. And because he's the perfect man and the perfect God-man, his sacrifice is infinitely perfect. And it's the only answer for our sin that deserves eternal punishment. What a wonderful Savior we have. But the thing is, do you know that sacrifice for yourself? In other words, have you believed on Christ and his sacrifice to be sufficient for you in heaven? But you know, our Savior does more than just give his life a sacrifice for sin. There in heaven, he prays. And the Bible says that in Hebrews 7:25, he ever liveth to make intercession. Aren't you glad that if you're saved, you haven't just got one that saves you and forgives you, but one that prays for you without ceasing? People can't do that for you. I can't do that for you. Wish I could, but I can't. But Christ ever lives. That means you can go to him. Boys and girls, if you haven't gone to him and haven't trusted him, and all the adults here, go without delay. He's a willing Savior, a perfect Savior. But there's just one more thing in this Christmas cracker. Now, it was the hat, wasn't it? And I think we know what it's going to be. You know what? I was delighted because I took this cracker home from church after Thursday, and I thought I was going to get a yellow hat or a blue hat. And I opened it up inside, and I was so happy when I saw a silver hat. So if you want to make me happy, just buy me a silver crown, okay? That's just a simple thing. I'm not going to put it on because I think that will just go, it doesn't seem right, and it will go wrong as well. But there it is. There's the hat with the silver crown. And of course, that reminds us that Jesus Christ, he is prophet, he is priest, and he is, boys and girls, your last chance, he is what? He is king, isn't he? Aren't you glad he's king? And he's the wonderful king. Do you know 2023 is going to be an amazing year for many reasons? And one of the great reasons, of course, is it's going to be a very historic year when King Charles III will have his coronation at Westminster Abbey. Now, in Bible times, Israel, if you go back to Israel, they always wanted to be like other nations. And beforehand, it was Moses, and it was Joshua, and it was the judges. But then there came a time, we want to be like other nations. We want our king. We want our ruler. We want to be like everyone else. So, well, there was that tall king that was sent, head and shoulders above everyone else, King Saul. And then you've got the great King David. And then you've got others. You've got the Jeroboams and the Rehoboams, and you've got Solomon, and you've got other individuals as well, and all these different kings. Do you know many of them were very bad, bad kings, sinful kings, terrible kings. Sometimes they were good kings, but many of them were not right. And yet, when we think of Jesus Christ, he's the great king, isn't he? Perfect king. Do you know when he was born, the wise men who traveled from the east to Jerusalem, what was their question? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? When Jesus died there on the cross, Pilate put a title on the cross. And the words which he wrote, the unbelieving Jews disagreed with. No, they said, change that. That's what he said. And he says, what I've written, I have written. And what he wrote was true. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. But the truth is, boys and girls, and all who are here this day, he's more than just King of the Jews. He's King of Kings. And he's the king of all the earth. He's the king of glory. And he's the king of this world. And what do we learn about the truth that Christ is king? As king, he cannot fail to have the victory. Lots of kings have failed in their victories over this world. And they've had to admit defeat. The kingdom of Jesus Christ never fails. As king, when we trust him as Savior, he conquers our hearts and he brings us to God. And that's what the Lord does when he saves you. All rebellion goes. All rejection goes. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. And as king, he protects you and he reigns in your life. And what a way to finish. He's prophet, he's priest, and he's king. And I hope, boys and girls, that when you pull your Christmas cracker next week, or if you have one already, that you'll think about that. That you'll think about something that's not a joke, but truth. And think about that, which when you put it together, reminds us of Christ as the great priest. And remember that he is king when you put the hat on your head. And may God bring you to himself in faith. Thank you for listening so well. You've been excellent. And we trust that you'll have a very happy Christmas. And I say the same to everyone here in the church. And most importantly of all, if we're not saved, that you'll come to Christ without delay. And be saved today. We're going to close with a hymn.